Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And we pray that you are having a beautiful, happy Lent, and that you are dying to yourself, you are denying yourself, you are taking up your cross, and you are following Jesus, and that you are becoming more like Jesus and less like you. We're never going to pass this way again. This is March 2024. We're never going to get this Lent back. We're halfway through. We just came through Lectare Sunday, where all of our priests were dressed in rose, as I too today am being rosy, because Father John Paul said today in his sermon, if you were listening to EWTN, he said, light matters. And you might be in a Lenten journey and it might be dark and it might not be feeling what you wanted it to feel like. And denying ourselves never feels good. It's not about our feelings. It's about the decision of the will that we make. And so, but light matters. So let the light of Christ come wherever you are and whatever you're facing, and love Jesus with all your heart. Well, today we have Jim Havens with us. He is a radio podcast host. He is an advocate for the unborn in the fight against abortion. And Jim is the co-founder of the Men's March, and he seeks to get men off the sidelines to foster a community of brotherhood, authentic love, to support the vulnerable in our society. You could go to the website, it's themensmarch.com. And yes, we look forward to having Jim with us today.
Well, we've researched the various works that he's doing. He's doing so much in this area of the sanctity of human life, marriage, family. And, you know, he's doing a great deal, but speak to him in the back. He says, you know, I'm trying to be a good Catholic man and to inculcate that in others. So he is a blessing, great work that he's doing, keeping abortion and the sanctity of life front and center. In sight, in mind, out of sight, out of mind. Jim makes sure it's in sight. What we do with it is our decision. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we have Jim Havens with us. He is a radio podcast host and an advocate for the unborn in the fight against abortion. Jim is the co-founder of the Men's March and seeks to get men off the sidelines to foster a community of brotherhood and authentic love to support the vulnerable in our society. You could go to his website, themensmarch.com. Well, Jim, we are excited to have you. We feel connected in our hearts as God has called us to this great mission of mercy and love in serving women and the unborn and being light in this very dark culture of death. So tell our family a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I had a pretty big conversion in my early 20s back to the Catholic faith. So that was a major milestone in my life that changed everything from that point on. And one of the things that it changed was really getting active in not just receiving God's love for me, but then going out with that love and trying to do whatever it is that he was calling me to do. So blessed to be a husband and a father and have six little ones now. I say six because the littlest one is a little foster baby we've been caring for now for a couple of months. And that's been a great blessing, a great adventure. But yeah, above all, I'm just a regular guy who just wants to be faithful and do a good job as a husband and a father and whatever else God calls me to.
But God needs regular guys who are Catholic men. And obviously, you're you know, being faithful in your marriage and in your journey with your children and being a father and being, and that's a bold witness in and of itself in this culture in which we live. Mm-hmm. But you're really trying to get men off the sidelines and to get active, which they might want to do baseball. They might want to be a softball coach. They might want to be a basketball coach. It's like, what do you mean I got to get active? What are you calling me to do? What has God laid on your heart for men to get involved with?
Mm-hmm. Well, the bottom line is do whatever he tells you. Mm-hmm. So we have to be men of prayer. We have to put God at the center, Jesus at the center, first and foremost. And I would want to try to convince everybody that Jesus and his Catholic Church are the real deal, and that's where you want to begin. But to whatever degree anybody understands who Jesus is, when you read the Gospel of Matthew 25, you see that he says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it unto me. Whatever you don't do, you don't do it unto me. So when we live in a time where we have an ongoing daily mass murder of our littlest brothers and sisters in this nation by the thousands, hundreds of thousands around the world every day, and that includes this terrible exploitation of pregnant moms in need who need our help, not our harm, not to be lied to, but to be told the truth about their child and how to love their child and have a community come around them. When we have all of this going on, what does that mean to love Jesus in the least of these? And in this case, I really think the least of the least of these in this time that we are living at this time in history. So we're here for a reason. This is going on right now. We have to face it. And so, of course, men have a vital role in this, even though, you know, there's a terrible lie that is spread throughout the culture that says it's not a man's issue. If any issue is a man's issue, this absolutely is a man's issue, and it involves vulnerable moms, pregnant moms in need, and innocent children who are under threat of death every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, were you able to live your life at some point in your life while all this was going on, but you were not involved? What got you involved? What made you cross the line? What brought it home to you? Or maybe it was always brought home to you. Because there's a lot of guys that hopefully will be moved in this way, but you mentioned a radical conversion that you had and so on. It just seems like it usually takes something that kind of brings it home, like a revelation that's given, and all of a sudden your eyes are really open and you're saying, I can't just coexist with this anymore. Mm. What happened to you?
Sure.
That brought you to that place.
I know what it was like to live before my conversion, which was for a lot of people just regular living in our nation growing up. And I remember the issue of abortion to me when I was going through high school and stuff. It was something that was there, but not something I ever really thought much about, certainly not deeply about. And then after my conversion, just reading the gospel, again, Matthew 25, the Lord was stirring in me that I had to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I had to face this. When you read things like the parable of the Good Samaritan, and you see, we can't ignore this. We can't go to the other side of the road and just keep walking. We have to face this. So I knew I had to face this reality. The question then became, what is my responsibility here? God, what are you calling me to do? What can I possibly do? You feel so small and so weak in the face of it. And so then it was just little step by little step. And in those little steps, God shows up in big ways and things start to happen. And so that's why it really always comes down to keeping our hearts and our minds turned to Him, putting Him first and at the center and praying, and He's gonna show us. And then we just simply have to be faithful and say yes each and every step, and that is going to involve facing reality when it comes to what's going on today with abortion and with really just dehumanizing the child at the earliest stages of development all across the board. And so we've got to be aware of that. We've got to stand up for the least of these. It's not optional.
So what was your first response like? I mean, I know my first response going out to the abortion clinic, and you were in school at that time and you were going into Pittsburgh where the abortion clinics were. What was your first response when you got out there? Because, I mean, you know, it's like you said, it's abortion's a word, it's political, it's really not spiritual. You know, should the church really speak into this? I'm a man, where is my voice? But then you go to the mills and you see what's happening. What was your first response when you went there?
Sure. Yeah, it was pretty simple for me once God had me go in front of an abortion killing center, a Planned Parenthood in Pittsburgh, I believe it was. And so when I was out there, the sense was just to pray. So I would just pray the rosary, but then I'd see people going in and out. And then it was stirring in my heart, how can I just stand here? Mm-hmm. I have to try to intervene. And so I would try to talk to them then. I didn't have any training or anything in it, but just knew that I needed to try. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and then I found out when school, that was during a summer in between my first 2 years at Franciscan University, then I realized when school got back into session that we had a Students for Life group. They were going out there once a month by the hundreds mm-hmm. on a given Saturday, and so I would plug in with them. They had a great operation going with SAWA counselors on all the corners, mm-hmm. all trained up. It was really wonderful. But then I thought, what about all those other days mm-hmm. when there's nobody out here? I know I have class, but isn't this more important? And so I just went to my rugby buddies after practice one day, and I just said, hey, I'm gonna go in the morning. It was a weekday. Mm-hmm. Who wants to come with me? Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, a bunch of them raised their hand. We got a car full of them. And we drove down, and I just said, all right, guys, you guys just pray. I'm gonna reach out. We got there. There was already a couple outside smoking cigarettes. They had already been inside for schedule. They were there for the appointment already, and the mom was just waiting to go back in and have the abortion. And so we caught them right in that moment, and I went and I talked to them, and it really was, it seemed like a financial need when I was talking to them. So I just thought to say, we'll do a baby shower for you. We'll get you everything that you need. I heard that from somewhere. It was in my mind. And so I threw it out there, and it struck her heart. I think they had some financial need, but I think it was more than that. Mm-hmm. I think it was just somebody who cared, yeah. somebody who was going to be on the side of her and on the side of her child. And he could tell the father was kind of like, okay. But it was the mom, really, who had her heart turned back to her child in what it always naturally wants to be. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, let's just go back inside, get our money back. I'm like, no, we'll give it to you. But they insisted, so there's nothing I could do. They went back inside, didn't know if they were just kind of saying that to me mm-hmm. or what was going on. But we prayed, me and these big rugby guys, down on our knees, praying our hearts out. And after about 20, 30 minutes, we had to get back to class. It became this very dramatic thing. Are they going to come out or not? And in the last minute, they did. Mm-hmm. And they really were serious about not going through with it. They did actually get their money back somehow. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to school and asked the student government to give us about $1,000 so we could throw this baby shower for them. Some ladies from the school got involved, put their feminine genius on the baby shower. And we had 100 students or so outside the coffee house that day when they pulled up, and she got out with her family, and all the students are just giving her this standing ovation, and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then we walked with her after that, and were there with her and her other kids and difficult things that they had. We were there, so we would show up. We'd drive to their house and just help them however we could. So it was God pulled me in at that point, and he just said, look, you just show up. Mm-hmm. You just keep saying yes to me, and I'm gonna show up in it. Not always gonna see these visible fruits. Mm-hmm. Lots of stories about being out there and not seeing those visible fruits, but he's in it. Mm-hmm. He's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. But we just have to show up.
That's it.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the phrase, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. One of the interpretations for that, we often see it as the gates of hell pressing up against the church. But there's also the interpretation is that the gates of hell are stationary and will not prevail when the church pushes against it. So you people are going down to the abortion mills and you're pushing. Mm-hmm. You're present, you're pushing. And those gates cannot stand. It just, stuff is happening, man. Mm-hmm. Spiritual warfare is happening. God's doing things in people's hearts and minds. It may not always turn out the way you want, but there's a principle about you got to move out. Mm-hmm. You got to stand up. You got to be in the midst of the city. You got to be out there, and God lands on you. He lands on rugby players. It's the first time I ever heard about rugby players being involved. I've been involved in a long time. I love it. And God does stuff. And so it moves on this couple, and they go back in, get their money back, come out. And everybody sees baby in her. Baby's going to die. No, baby's going to be killed. babies back out. Wait a minute, is this what this is all about? It's not political, it's about this as a human being, and that this baby's gonna live or die. And if I were not here this day, in all likelihood this baby would die. It doesn't always turn out that way, but at least there's opportunity. Let's push on the gates of hell.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the kind of thing, the going out, the mission.
Yeah.
Talking about, that scripture, I love that way of looking at it. That rises in me with a conviction when I hear that. Like, I want to be on mission with our Lord. And by the nature of our baptism, we are. Mm-hmm. It's just that so many of us aren't really aware of what that means. Mm-hmm. But yes, we need to be going to our Lord in the Holy Mass, in the Holy Sacraments, the Blessed Sacrament at the center, and then going out. We can't just stay in our churches. We've got to go out. We know this in our own families, but then even beyond that, we've got to keep pushing out into the culture, bringing the love of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ, to continue on the theme of the light, the light into the darkness. Mm-hmm. This is what we are called to do. Yeah. And if we were doing that, if we were all doing that as our baptism, as the identity that we have by nature of our baptism, this world would look a whole lot different, right? Mm-hmm. And so if somebody as weak as me, as poor as me, can step out and say yes to each little step, I know every single person can do it. We have to encourage each other. We have to hear the witnesses, read the lives of the saints, and be inspired and understand this is our call as well.
Right, because we have been born for a time such as this. And even, you know, people say, I'm hearing it now at the clinics with our girls. I don't want to have a baby. This world is terrible. I don't ever want to be a mother. I don't, you know, and it's all about self. And nobody wants to take the risk to love, to suffer, to die, to deny themselves. Nobody does, you know? And that's not what our flesh is inclined to do. But with God, and every Sunday, we get sent out from the church to go be light and salt and to make a difference and to storm the gates of hell. And the problem is we're all going home and going on retreat and nobody's going out. So tell us about what the Men's March is all about.
Sure, yeah. The Men's March, it's an opportunity for men to get off the sidelines primarily to say, what can we do? All right, well, let's gather together in a given area. So we've done about, I think, 9 of these national marches now since 2001, various places around the nation. So we call men to come together outside of an abortion killing center. We have some testimony there, some prayer. And then we do a march. Mm-hmm. And so then we march to some place of prominence in the area. Oftentimes it could be a state house or a city hall or something like that. And we call for the personhood of the child in the womb to be recognized, the personhood of human beings from the earliest levels of development to be recognized, because we know these truths to be true, that it's a scientific fact that life begins at conception, fertilization, not a religious belief, a scientific fact. And then that means, okay, well, if children begin at conception, fertilization, then how can we be killing innocent children? So people can say that's a religious belief, but it is bound up with us so instinctually, so naturally. It's natural law. It's the simplest religious belief we should have when it comes to loving one another, not to kill one another. And so so we're just saying, look, it's not right that we are killing innocent children, and somebody's got to stand up and say no. So men, this is an opportunity to get together and to do that together. And then women, we invite the moms, the families, all women to come together with those men at the rally point, so we can really see that complementarity of the family of men and women come together as we're all calling for this together. But we're specifically giving an opportunity for men to come off the sideline and to form a brotherhood in this, to say, how can we get together on this and start thinking about this and saying, I need to be engaged, and what can we do to basically pool our resources, our influence, to really push to the end of this?
Excellent.
Well, Jim, we've got to conclude. Thank God you're going to be with us again tomorrow to continue to unpack the work you're doing with the Men's March, also your sidewalk counseling ministry, also the development of Catholic men to the fullness that they can be. Thank you so much for being with us today. You can go to themensmarch.com, mensmarch.com. We'll be right back. More to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. We're at home with Jim and Joy, and today it is our honor to bring to you our favorite Father John Paul. So, Father John Paul, you've been traveling a lot, but today you're in town, and we're glad that you're here.
That's good to be here. I gave a parish mission 2 weeks ago and go to EWTN DC office once a month. So I do travel quite a bit. So our EWTN viewing audience may think, where is he
at? Where is he?
I do travel quite a bit. I'm probably the friar that travels the most.
The traveling friar.
The traveling friar. That sounds good.
That would be a good show.
What did you think about Jim's
Reminded me of when I first entered the seminary, when I went to Josephinum. Before I became a friar, I was a diocesan seminarian for 4 years. And my first year in seminary, I started to go to a local abortion mill in Columbus, Ohio. And I think that was my first experience with evil. It really rattled me. There was an experience I had of a bunch of us really just forming a prayer line. And we would often take, when there would be vocation visitors, one time I believe we took, I want to say it was over 50, it was between 50 to 70 guys. And we just were almost surrounding the place. And it reminds me that prayer makes a difference. You know, what's taking place inside those walls, that we should pray no matter what. We shouldn't, sometimes we don't see an outcome. Maybe we don't see people coming out saying that they're not going to have an abortion. But prayer does make a difference for those people's lives that are in there. And there was one guy, I remember he was on a bus, and he obviously, he probably was possessed, if not oppressed. And when the bus was pulling up, he was screaming. And he got off the bus, and he came and got in one of our priest's face, and he was mocking. And just, I mean, it sounded like something totally demonic. So I bring that up because that's real. You know, when you deal with abortion face to face, you're going to deal with the demonic. And not to be afraid of that, I think.
Well, he that is in you is greater, right? And so we have to show up. We're prayerful, but it's about prayer, but it's about presence. You have to be there on the sidewalk. The clients have to be pulling up and driving in the driveway and go, what are these people doing here? Why are they taking time out of their lives? Are they really care what happens to me?
And Father Gonzalez, he actually, you could tell, like Christ is living in him as priest. It didn't rattle him one bit. The guy was in his face, screaming, mocking him, spitting in his face. Father Gonzalez was content, peaceful, and he gave that example to me and to all of us seminarians at the time. He's like, that's how we're to be. You know, you don't get rattled. You know, you just, you try and just be prayerful and be a witness to, you know, God's love and the power of God's love. Light.
Light matters. Because light matters.
Who said that? Father, why don't you close us in a prayer? And I know you hold in your heart, you know, this whole arena of abortion and those who are trying to stand against it and all the implications. Close us in a prayer, please.
Sure. We pray for anybody who may be thinking about having an abortion. Maybe you're watching this program today. Maybe you have had an abortion in your past. Maybe you've helped somebody have an abortion. First of all, forgive yourself. Allow God to forgive you. Come back to God. It's never too late. God wants to forgive you. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for so powerful a prayer. Thanks to Jim Havens for being with us today. The final outcome is secure in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of life. Life, marriage, and the family will prevail here on earth as it is in heaven. He's coming back again. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.